1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Police in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho say a gunman deliberately set a brush fire, then ambushed firefighters at the scene. Two were killed, a third injured. Kootenai County Sheriff Robert Norris says the suspect died as well.
We had a fire that was rapidly approaching the body, so we had to scoop up that body.
Lawmakers in the Senate debated the president's massive budget bill late into the night. California Democrat Adam Schiff.
Does it lead our country on a new path towards affordability and prosperity? And the answer, the simple, terrible, but clear as day answer is no.
Jury deliberations begin today at Sean Combs' trial. CBS's Jerika Duncan is at the courthouse in New York.
Prosecutors have argued that the 55-year-old rapper and producer was the leader of what they call a criminal enterprise that forced women into engaging in sex acts.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WXCO News, I'm Melissa Kay. Today is the deadline for Wisconsin lawmakers to pass a new two-year state budget. If they don't, current spending levels remain, but that creates complications for municipalities drafting their own budgets. Shali Pittman reports.
The legislature's budget committee met again Friday night, over 12 hours after their planned 10 a.m. start. They skipped debates on major funding items, but did approve budgets for several state agencies.
With that, we are adjourned.
The meeting lasted just over an hour and followed a familiar pattern. Democrats proposed motions, Republicans voted them down, and then passed their own plans on party lines. But not without criticism. Here's Democratic Senator LaTanya Johnson of Milwaukee.
There is something wrong with the decisions that we are making in this body, and we aren't saving taxpayers' money the way that we like to claim that we are.
Governor Evers says he won't sign a budget that doesn't include funding for the state's child care program. Another major item, funding for the universities of Wisconsin, was pulled from the agenda. The committee also resolved a longstanding dispute by releasing $10 million to the Department of Public Instruction for early literacy coaching.
We want to help kids read, and we want to give schools the tools to be able to do that. And unfortunately, it's taken this legislature a tremendous amount of time to allocate the funds for that.
Democratic Rep. Tip McGuire from Kenosha. The money had been held up by a legal fight over the governor's veto powers. Mark Bourne co-chairs the Joint Finance Committee.
The reason for the delay was an unconstitutional veto by the governor, ruled unanimous, unconstitutional by the state Supreme Court. And so we're glad that justice has been done, and we're here now with the proper accounts and able to do these.
If lawmakers hadn't acted on that funding by tonight, the funds would have lapsed back into the state's $4 billion surplus. For Civic Media News, I'm Shali Pittman.
And I'm Melissa Kay for WXCO.
The Brewers head to New York. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers on their way to Queens, New York, where they'll face the Mets tomorrow night. The crew losing to the Rockies yesterday, 4-3 in 11 innings. The game began with Rockies manager Warren Schaefer and batter Tyler Freeman arguing with the umpire about balls and strikes, both ejected. I asked Brewers pitcher Chad Pettrick how it went for him.
That first inning was definitely a grind. I felt like I was making good pitches, just trying to get rewarded a little bit, how close they were. Said something. You know, go on from there, but he ended up being right.
Basketball, the Milwaukee Bucks have reached a new three-year deal with Bobby Portis Jr. worth as much as $44 million. Head coach Doc Rivers.
Listen, Bobby, he's been fantastic. Every night he gives us something defensively with his hands and his rebound.
And former Buck Malik Beasley, now with the Pistons, under investigation for gambling. Beasley accused of betting on NBA games 2 years ago while with Milwaukee. With sports, on Mike Clemens.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Partly to mostly cloudy with a slight chance of a scattered thunderstorm this afternoon. Our high right around 80 today. Tonight, mostly clear. We're going to drop down to the upper 50s to near 60 tomorrow. Lots of sunshine with a high of 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now it's 64.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The Joint Finance Committee was leaked that they intend to cut $87 million from the UW system budget. And so we put this out on our socials last night, and today the Joint Finance Committee decided to pull that from the agenda. Because apparently, from what I'm told, Republican legislators got a lot of calls. When the truth is disseminated and people react, results can happen.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Charlie Pittman, Civic Media's news director, will be here to recap all of the weekend news. In hour number two, we lighten it up with We Got This Garden. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
With a coffee mug that says, I am silently correcting your grammar, although oftentimes not so silently, I'm Pat Kreitlow. Welcome back. It's 8:06. Hope you had a nice weekend. Parker Olson is in Madison Studio A2. John and Gordy are going to join us from A1 in just a moment. First, a reminder that coming up at the bottom of this hour, we'll talk to Jeff Mandel from Law Forward about the legal group's lawsuit against Elon Musk, hoping to prevent a future episodes of billionaire bribery in connection with Wisconsin elections. And tomorrow on the program, we'll talk to Hans Breitenmoser, Dan Schaefer, and more. Then on Wednesday, State Representative Angela Stroud from up north talking about removing lead water lines. It's not just a Milwaukee thing. In her district, Superior has a real problem with that. And the legislature was not really that helpful last week on the topic. So I've got all that and more coming up. But first, at 8:07 now, time to bring in our friends John and Gordy from our Civic Media station in Madison. Guys, how are you?
Morning, Pat.
Real good, Pat.
Doing nice. Well. How are you?
Remember those mugs, Pat, where you pour the hot liquid into the mug and the either the writing on the outside of the mug would disappear?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Or appear. Well, things would appear on
Things would appear, he said.
That, yeah. Keep
that almost family-friendly for radio. But the 1970s were so fun.
But that happened in the Bush administration. Really? You know, yeah. They had all these different mugs. Hmm. Yeah, the progressives came out with mugs that had disappearing writing and maps on it.
Oh, see, I was thinking about something differently, but I'm also.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, those kind of.
Been there, done that, Pat. Thank you.
I'm of an era where when you discover your dad's secret stash of Playboys, I mean, exactly. That is finding gold in them Thar Hills, you know?
Oh, mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. Yes,
those were the days.
Yes. I was just before I came to you, got a hayfield right across the street, and the tractor came by to do first cutting. It's so different now as the farms get bigger, you know? It used to be you needed six kids on the back of a flatbed, you know, and the little square bales would come up, and everything had to be dry because otherwise, you know, you were going to get into problems. Nowadays, I mean, this thing comes by, it's a huge machine now. And I mean, it cuts it faster than you can cut your lawn is the way it gets done with this whole field here. And then a blower truck is going to come by and get it all done. We'll talk to Hans Breitenmoser about this tomorrow, but the changes in farming are just crazy to see when you get to see them. I saw something last week that I haven't seen in farming for a while. I saw cows outside. That's like a rare thing now. You used to see a lot of cows out in the fields when you drive around, and you hardly see it anymore because they're all in the barns 24/7, you know? And I think some of them have finally figured out, hey, he said, no pun intended, if you let them out in the field, you might get some better milk that way. You
know? They can graze that way. Yeah,
we got a story about
We got a story about grazing out there in the fields. Minnesota is experimenting with a mobile solar panel, and these are two wings, giant wings, solar panels, and they're attached to a battery-operated tractor that moves across the fields very slowly, providing shade for the cows out in the pasture.
This is epic.
It is.
Because we keep hearing, and you know, they're not totally incorrect, but saying, oh, these solar farms, they're taking up all this farmland. Mm-hmm. Well, no, I mean, one thing that I've known is that they have been looking at ways to have your cake and eat it too. Have the solar panels, but either raise them up or have them, you know, rotate during the day so that the crops below can still grow. Or in this case, continue to provide shade for the cows as it's kind of mobile that way. That is amazing.
I know it's a really great idea, but it could be frustrating for the cows, you know, when they find a really good spot to graze.
Oh, yeah.
But the tractor keeps moving.
Eat so faster.
Just kind of moving along.
But it actually increases their milk production.
It
too,
does.
Right.
Yeah. That's the whole point of keeping them cooler in the, it's been so hot lately. It's crazy, right?
Yeah.
Except where you are, I guess you had cold temperatures up there, haven't you?
A little further north, closer to Lake Superior.
Oh, further north.
We've had our warm spells here, but I think that would just be amazing. You know, you have to start a new saying, you know, the grass is greener under the robotic tractor. Something like that.
Yes, solar-powered tractors.
Yeah. We had a very low-key weekend here at the house. We didn't set up the list of, you know, 20 things to do. We just kind of did things as they came up. I spent ample time in the hammock, I'm happy to say. But one of you were busy doing the basement, which is one of those things I always say I'm going to do on a really cold winter day or something, and then it just never gets done. But you did it.
Well, yeah, I have two Gen Zers at home, and we have apartments in our home, and they just moved into these apartments by themselves now, separately, and they left all the junk in the basement in the middle of a walking area. You know, I mean, it's hard to walk down there now and do the laundry. So, yeah, I had to kind of clean that up and take care of some of the mess down there. So,
how much did you put at the end of the driveway with a free sign before they got the idea that maybe they should do something with this?
Well, I should have put it up in their apartments. That's what I should have done.
Yes. But, you know, that is there's this rite of passage that I didn't appreciate right away as a young man, but I've come since to appreciate now, not just for my wife, but for my daughters. The rite of passage when you're of an age where your parents, usually your mom, will say to the daughter, okay, I've been holding on to this big old box with your wedding dress long enough.
Yeah.
It's time for you to store it away because you finally bought your first home or whatever the case may be. And it's not just the wedding dress. That's just one example. But there is something about when one of my daughters finally got a place of her own, is we loaded up the vehicle. And I mean, they got a small place, but it's still their place. So here's your stuff to go in your place.
Yeah.
We don't have to babysit it anymore. That's kind of
nice. That's true. Yeah, I wish my parents had done the same thing and let me know they got rid of all my stuff.
Oh my gosh.
That I left there. But oh no, you didn't. Yes, they got rid of a lot of the stuff. Mm-hmm. So thank goodness I took my 60s comic books with me though, Marvel comics.
Yes.
I do know though.
I sold those. Yeah.
You just cashed those in, right?
I just cashed them in.
Some big bucks.
Did you? You know what you do? You take the old comics and you put them in auctions. There are auctions that sell comic books exclusively. Mm-hmm. And you get some really good money there. And boy, you know, I made out like a bandit, but it's sad to see them go. I didn't buy them to collect them. I loved reading and looking at the pictures in the comic books. I was a big comic book fan. So getting rid of them. And I used to draw comics too at one point. So it was my inspiration when I was a kid, and then I'm selling them, and it's just, it was heartbreaking, but I made some money.
I suppose, yeah. I'd like to think that when my mom got really frustrated with me not cleaning my room, and one day threw away all of my baseball cards.
And I was
probably like 11 years old or something at the time, and I totally deserved it. I would like to think that somewhere in there I can hold this over my mom's head that you threw away $1 million card.
Yes.
I'm pretty confident that, you know, you couldn't get, you know, $5 for the whole lot based on what I had. But we'll never know now.
You'll never know. My neighbor had like a gigantic cardboard box filled with cards. And when I think about that, there might have been some real classics in there.
Yeah.
Very valuable cards. So who knows?
You don't get to keep those. And yet every so often, I know there was a story a week or two ago, somebody finding like a Rembrandt or something that somebody else had painted over, and somehow they figured out to look underneath it and find, it's like, that always happens to somebody else, you know?
Yeah, it does. It does.
But you saved yours, and I thought that that was pretty. Did you have a favorite genre of comics? I mean,
I like the superhero comics a lot. Spider-Man was one of the best ones. I could identify with him as a loner. You know, no one liked you. You know.
It's still the case today. I know. Yeah.
Up in my lonely room drawing comic books, imagining myself as a superhero. That's the way it is.
See, that my I was more not so much the superheroes. I was more Archie's, you know, Archie, Veronica, Betty, Reggie, which is why I guess we're going back maybe 10 years now. When that TV series Riverdale came out. And you know, it said it's going to be a young adult series based on the comic books. And sure enough, the characters were there, Archie, Betty, Veronica. But as they're all like taking each other's clothes off and having these sexy scenes in the shower, I'm like, this is not the comic book I read.
This is the comic book I wish I read.
Right. Yes.
And you can always show off your age by asking people, you know, when you're comparing to women's, like, you know, is it Betty or Veronica? And for others, it would now be, you know, what, Rachel or Monica? And of course, the quintessential one was Ginger versus Marianne.
Exactly.
You guys,
Gilligan's Island. Yeah.
Yes. We were heavily into all of that. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. You ever notice women never do that? They never take any two guys and go, you want this one or that one? It's like, well,
no.
You'd have to find two quality candidates to put up, you know, in order to do that. We're talking to Johnny Gordy. Yes, sir.
But now it's different. You know, a lot of women really do like to see the backside of a guy now in the movies and on TV.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
I always wonder if that's. Is that real, or is that just wishful thinking on the guy's part when they write these things? But
well, I don't know. But I know my wife enjoys it.
Oh, well, there you go.
I'm thinking, you know, she's not alone, alone in all of this. But yeah.
Okay. Fourth of July plans for you guys?
I don't really have any plans, and it's a 3-day weekend too. Yeah. So, we got. How about you, Pat? Are you doing anything?
Last night we said, you know, if we do something on Friday the 4th, we'd still have the 5th and the 6th, Saturday, Sunday to hang out here on the lake. So we just made we looked at the Summerfest lineup, and I don't have it in front of me, but the lineup on the 4th of July looked pretty good. So I think we may wander down to Milwaukee. We haven't been to the big gig there in quite a few years.
Yeah, it's fun going down there. It really is, just to walk around and see the different stages. Yeah.
Well, and half the fun, too, is that Walker's Point neighborhood, there's a couple of nice, like, boutique hotels there now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you...
You're going to stay over.
You can stay over, and you don't have as much of, you know, the parking hassle or taking the shuttles. You know, the shuttle ride is a lot shorter from Walker's Point than it would be, you know, from other parts of the city.
True.
So I'm looking forward to it. But, you know, when we're comparing notes next week, I'll be curious to see if it's, it was as good as I remember, or if I'm going to give you the old man thing of, there were too many people. Oh, the crowds. I'm never going again. And the music was so loud. And no, I'm thinking I'll be okay with that.
Yeah. Well, the last time I went was to see Imagine Dragons. And wow, what a show that was. Yeah. Gee, that was a fantastic concert.
I'm not familiar with them. I don't know. Oh. Imagine Dragons.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Big with the kids.
Here's some of the stages on the 4th of July. Gary Lewis and the Playboys.
Boy,
am I showing my age? John Waite. John Oates of Hall & Oates.
No kidding.
Richard Marks. And Chicago, a little band called Chicago will be there as well. Fountains of Wayne and more. So right up my demographic alley. So, you know,
well, you know, a long time ago, they had a stage for Milwaukee bands. The old 60s, 70s Milwaukee bands played at one of the stages. I wish they'd do that again, like Milwaukee Skunks or the Ricochets or the Legends, Sammy McHugh.
Love a good local band. We've got one up here, Uncommon Denominator. They're just so good. You love having a good local band like that. We're talking with John and Gordy. A local update is next for some of you. Others will be back here for more with John and Gordy. And when we are all back together in the 8:30 half hour, we will be talking to Jeff Mandel of Law Forward about their lawsuit against Elon Musk. This is all followed at 9 a.m. by Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair will be along before too much longer to tell us what's coming up on her show as well. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Skilled trade workers are the backbone of every community and also the Army National Guard. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and in every other trade needed to accomplish the mission. These soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Matt Nair on Air.
From articles that I have seen, if you are a bagel purist, you should not toast your bagel. I think nothing's better than a toasted bagel and a schmear.
Folks, can we have a moment of honesty? Do you really like bagels? Or do you like the schmear that is transported by them? Get rid of the stigma. If I walk into this room eating cream cheese out of a tub with a spoon.
Why is that wrong?
Matt Nair. On Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at SCORE.org.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
And welcome back. It is Mornings with Pat Kreitel on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Starting to see the clouds break up just a little bit of sunshine here in downtown Wausau. Still mostly cloudy. 70 degrees is the temperature. I am Chad Holmes, along with Ian Welsh. As we begin the final day of June, we'll be 6 months down, 6 months to go when we get into July tomorrow. July the 1st is tomorrow.
It's crazy how fast the summertime just flies by.
It certainly does. And
when you're keeping busy. I know this weekend was pretty busy with the Wings over Wausau and Chaw Fest as well. And a Saturday night as I was driving home, I actually got to see those cool jet trail outlines in the sky of the loop-de-loops, and wasn't able to go to the actual event itself, but just seeing all those jet trails and the loop-de-loops and the high arches in the air, it's very cool.
It is. Absolutely. And it's great that folks had the opportunity to, again, enjoy the great summer activities that we do get here in North Central Wisconsin. Yeah. The third and final social media posting I made on Saturday that I was on a roll. I was, again, just in that mood. I was going to say, I saw all this stuff. And it's neat. You need to start thinking about this. Another aspect of the big, beautiful bill that Donald Trump and the Republicans are trying to pass is, I would call, obscene amounts of money going towards ICE, immigration service that has been hauling people away.
Yeah.
And if, and according to the AmericanImmigrationCouncil.org, if the GOP reconciliation bill passes, ICE will get funding through fiscal year 2029 included. $45 billion for detention. That's on top of the current annual budget of $3.4 billion. So $45 billion, the amount of money that's being added in is insane. Also, $14.4 billion for transportation and removal on top of the current annual budget of $750 million. Again, the percentage increase is insane. Mm-hmm. $8 billion in this budget for hiring and retention, and billions more in other areas for ICE. So, and the thing is, if the bill passes, it could make ICE the nation's largest jailer with more funding for detention than the entire Federal Bureau of Prisons. It would give ICE enough money to have more officers on board than the entire FBI, and this alone could transform American society forever. Again, you're taking money away from health care for the American people, and instead giving money, and I'm not just saying some money, I'm saying obscene amounts of money for ICE, in addition to the obscene amounts for tax cuts for the wealthy. And Republicans know all this. They know it's going to blow up the budget. It knows it's going to throw people off their health care. It knows it's going to change America in fundamental ways, and they don't care. And we heard from Tom Tillis, the North Carolina senator, who put it out there that this, the numbers don't work. The numbers don't add up, and it's going to cause Republicans a lot of pain electorally. One would hope if they do pass this. Again, at this point, I don't know. I don't know if people are taking their responsibilities seriously enough. Yeah. There are some that do, but in terms of knowing what's happening and voting appropriately based on those issues, I don't know. I don't know. And it's, and this battle in this, and that we're getting this close to this abomination of a bill passing is scary, scary stuff. And and frankly, Saturday kind of hit the rev limiter for me, and I had to kind of throw things out there. And again, I just find it interesting, the folks that stand up who believe totally in this Donald Trump. He's got a history of having issues with the truth, and I just don't understand it, but I just felt like it was important to bring it out. Bring it out in terms of the real bottom line when it comes to some of these issues. And again, it's right. It's been quite a 5 months and 10 days of the second Trump administration, as yes, we call it, Trump 2.0. But we're going to be more positive the rest of the way. We're going to be. We're going to, again, it's Independence Day week on July the 4th, coming up on Friday. It's going to be a chance to, again, I think, look at the positive. 249 years since some truly heroic people stood up against tyranny. But the battle never ends.
The battle marches on.
Do you have any ideas about your 4th of July weekend?
I don't have any big plans at the moment. Probably just keep it simple. You have a nice cookout with some good 4th of July food and do some fun fireworks in the evening. And so you got the sparklers for my brother, Logan. He really likes the... sparklers.
Very good. And I can't wait. I'm heading on vacation, so yeah, I'll talk more about that.
Take some time off.
It's time to decompress a little bit out of town, so I'll tell you a little bit more about my plans as we continue. Also coming up in our final segment, and we'll be back at 8:52, our final segment of the day, and then we'll wrap it up at the very end in the last couple of minutes with our number for the day quiz. And I'm going to Broadway. We're going to have Broadway be the topic because I know we got to be a little more positive here. So it's Broadway will be our topic coming up in the final moments of this show. Coming up, another information update, bottom of the hour coming up, and then back to Pat Kreitlow for more as we continue on this Monday morning. 70 degrees here in downtown Wausau with Ian Welsh. I am Chad Holmes on 98.9 WXCO.
listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
For WXCO News, I'm Melissa Kay. Average gas prices fell 7.3 cents over the last week, landing at $2.96 in the state today. This is 1.5 cents per gallon lower than a month ago and over 30 cents lower than this time last year. Gas Buddy's Independence Day gas price forecast projects the national average price to fall to $3.15 on July 4th. This would be down nearly 35 cents from last year's national average and the lowest Independence Day average since 2021. Gas Buddy officials say if tensions in the Middle East remain contained and the U.S. avoids a major hurricane, the national average could fall below $3 at some point this summer. Prices in central Wisconsin today range from $2.81 to $2.87 per gallon. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services has announced another year of decreased tobacco and vape sales to underage customers. Lisa Hale has more.
According to a DHS report, the rate of tobacco and vape sales to underage customers dropped nearly 2% from 2023 to 2024. Agency officials say the jump in underage tobacco and vape sales aligned with raising the federal legal tobacco sales age from 18 to 21 in 2019. Prior to that change, the underage sales rate was about 5.5% and jumped to over 14% in 2021.
A note of caution as we approach the Independence Day celebrations. Fireworks are a hallmark of the day, but every year thousands of children end up in the emergency room with fireworks-related injuries in the U.S. According to Aspirus Hospital doctors, the most important safety strategies include making sure that children are supervised by a designated adult at all times, keep spectators at a safe distance, and never use fireworks while impaired by alcohol or drugs. I'm Melissa Kay for WXCO News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. How do actors cope with being part of a really dark horror film? Violet McGraw and Allison Williams, stars of Megan 2.0, made themselves happy when the cameras weren't rolling by singing Taylor Swift songs. The 37-year-old Williams and 14-year-old McGraw are both Swifties. McGraw, who plays Williams' niece in the film, says the two bonded due to the dark material, and the way they ended up coping with it was by pretending to be Taylor. Megan 2.0 is rating fresh on Rotten Tomatoes and is currently in theaters. If mystery and horror isn't your thing, how about mystery and comedy? Peacock's remake of the 1989 Tom Hanks film, The Burbs, is gaining steam. The reboot is not a movie, but rather a series, and the cast is headlined by Kiki Palmer, whose credits include Nope and the recent surprise hit, One of Them Days. Palmer is also executive producing. If you're feeling nostalgic for the movie, you might dig the show, as it is filmed on the same street on the Universal backlot as the movie. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Partly to mostly cloudy with a slight chance of a scattered thunderstorm this afternoon. Our high right around 80 today. Tonight, mostly clear. We're going to drop down to the upper 50s to near 60. Tomorrow, lots of sunshine with a high of 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 65.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It's National Handshake Day, but I find the idea that you just meet someone and you're holding a body part of theirs kind of odd. Hello, stranger. I'd like to squeeze your hand. Let's have an intimate act here. I have no idea where it's been or how you choose to use your hand in your spare time, but I'd like to hold it for a while. Unless it's a friend. Look, I don't know why we have to touch each other when we barely know each other.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I talk Action Wisconsin and film incentives with Jeffrey Kurz and Nathan Deming. And Kurt Newman of the legendary Bodines joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Did you know that that Civic Media app has a brand new feature on it? You can use it to text us, of course. We've talked about that at length. But you can send us a voice note as well. You just use that voice note feature, and you can record a little audio message. It might be a comment on something you're hearing. It might be a question for one of us. So just all the more reason to download that Civic Media app and use the voice note feature to stay in touch. Tomorrow on the program, Hans Breitenmoser will be here, dairy farmer from up in the Merrill area, Chad Holmes from Wausau, Dan Hagen from Newswatch 12 in Rhinelander, and Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area. And then on Wednesday, State Representative Angela Stroud from up north. But right now, we're going to have a little conversation with Jeff Mandel from Law Forward and talk about what I would, I don't know, you can either call it billionaire bribery or you can call it bribery adjacent campaigning or whatever it is. Jeff Mandel and Law Forward want to make sure that these kinds of practices stay on the up and up or don't happen at all. Jeff, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
No, it's nice to have you here. Thank you so much. Let's put it in your words instead of mine. Tell us about the lawsuit and the genesis of it and the outcome you hope to get.
Thanks, Pat. The lawsuit is about making sure we continue to have free and fair elections here in Wisconsin and about perpetuating a series of actions that Law Forward has taken to hold accountable those bad actors who try to undermine free and fair elections in Wisconsin. So let's step back to March, to the home stretch of the Supreme Court election that we had here in Wisconsin this past spring, to remind your listeners what happened. In the last 12 days of that election, Elon Musk, the world's richest man, showed up in Wisconsin and started to offer cash incentives for people to vote here in Wisconsin. And first, it was a petition that offered $100 to any registered voter who would sign the petition that very, very closely echoed the campaign themes and messaging of one of the candidates. And then all of a sudden, it was the chance of million-dollar checks to people who had signed the petition and said they'd already voted in the election. And then there was a series of payouts as well in the weekend before the election for people who were knocking on doors and getting photos of voters with the holding campaign material for Musk's preferred candidate and giving a thumbs up or a smile. All of these are efforts to induce people to vote. And in Wisconsin, you cannot give anything that is valued more than $1 to try to induce people to vote. It's against the law.
It sure seemed pretty clear that way. I mean, you can't induce anyone to go to the polls to vote for or to vote at all or to vote for a particular person. You refer to it as a brazen scheme to induce Wisconsinites to vote. And I think that's a generous way to put it. I mean, brazen truly fits what he was trying to get away with.
It's really outrageous, and it's even more outrageous when you put it in the context of some of the things we've seen in Wisconsin over the last few years, including complaints filed by individual candidates or political parties when, say, on campus there was a Get Out the Vote activity that offered ice cream for people who came out to early vote, and they said, well, ice cream is worth more than a dollar. Maybe it is. I mean, I don't know exactly what the details of that program were, but a million-dollar check is certainly worth more than a dollar. And even the chance to get a million-dollar check, right? We don't sell lottery tickets in this country for less than a dollar usually. So it really is a brazen scheme. It's brazen in how open and outrageous it is, how contemptuous of the law it is, and we can't let this continue. The day after the election, there was a really distressing article to me in the Washington Post because U.S. Senator from North Carolina, Tom Tillis, who I guess made his own news this past weekend.
Yep.
But Senator Tillis was asked about this, and his reaction was really just astonishing to me. But what he said in essence was that Elon Musk is a disruptor. And he comes in with new ideas and thinks about things differently than we have before. And we all have to adapt. And so what he said is for the 2026 midterm elections, we should expect to see millionaires of all different political stripes standing up on stages and giving away huge checks. And that's just a horrifying dystopian vision to me. That's not the way we understand or want elections to work in this country. And that was really one of the moments when we decided we had to, even after the election, come in and try to make sure this can't happen again.
Right. I mean, because I mean, you either have that outlook or hear me out here. You don't allow voters to be bribed in one form or another. But now we have to ask the legal thicket question that there was an effort just prior to the election to try to get this practice smacked down, and courts did not go along with it. What is different this time now that the election's in the past? What is different about the lawsuit, the arguments that you're making that you hope make it more likely a court will formally and finally end practices like these?
It's a great question. I think really the biggest difference is the context and the timing. You know, courts have a tremendous amount of power, but they also, as institutions, are not really built to work quickly. Excuse me. The goal of courts is to arrive at the truth and then to enforce the law based on what it finds about those facts. What you were referencing, Pat, was that in the run-up to the election, there was an effort by Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call to put a stop to an event the Sunday evening before the election where Musk handed out two $1 million checks. We had been pushing Attorney General Call to take action and to try to stop this, and we're grateful that he made the effort. But he filed his papers on a Friday afternoon, asking the court to stop something that was happening 48 hours later. And that's really just not in sort of the DNA of our court system to do things quickly over the weekend in exceptional circumstances. The wheels of justice generally grind slowly, and the courts, no court that weekend. Within those 48 hours, Attorney General Call was in the trial court in Wisconsin, in the Wisconsin Court of Appeals, and in the Wisconsin Supreme Court. But none of those courts said that he was wrong. None of those courts said that what Musk was doing was okay. What each of those courts said is, we're not willing or able to do this on the schedule you're asking us for. And so what our lawsuit is doing is saying, okay, we'll take you at your word, courts, but now the election is over. Things are calm and settled. We're not in an urgent situation, but we do need to know what the law is and get this clear before the next Wisconsin Supreme Court election, because we can't allow this to happen again. And if you remember at the beginning when I recapped what happened, I said that Musk didn't start these efforts until 12 days before the election. I don't think that's accidental. I think part of what they're trying to do is jam the courts. They're trying to show up and do things right on the edge and do them at such a time that nobody can really stop it. And so we're coming in at this moment and saying, let's put a stop to this.
It's downright diabolical. We're talking to Jeff Mandel from Law Forward. It's a legal group that already has a pretty good history of holding some bad actors to account. There was the exposing of the fraudulent electors scheme that was cooked up here in the state. And then there was the complaint against the Office of Lawyer Regulation that held that former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman had made some ethical abuses during his sham investigation into the 2020 election. So, you know, this is a group that does not take things lightly when you're doing these things. So you have filed the lawsuit here against Elon Musk. What's next? How should we expect to see things play out?
Well, as I said, courts move slowly. And so there's going to be a period of time where the defendants here, which is Elon Musk, a political action committee that he founded and runs called America PAC, and then another organization that he created with the unbelievable name of the United States of America, Inc. They're the ones who sent people these actual checks. So you would sign the petition from America PAC, and it said that America PAC would send you a check. But the check actually came from the United States of America, Inc. People got emails that said the United States of America has money for you. So those are the defendants here, those three entities. they're going to have an opportunity to answer this complaint, and then the lawsuit will get rolling. So I would expect around Labor Day, we'll have a schedule from the court and we'll be able to move forward.
Can somebody also then do the lawsuit that says, what state allowed you to incorporate the name United States of America Incorporated? I mean, I don't know who runs these anymore. I always thought it was every Secretary of State's office in the state, but somebody dropped the ball on that one.
Indeed, Pat, you are correct. I mean, I think we all share an intuition that it just doesn't seem like it can possibly be acceptable to incorporate and claim that you're doing business in the name of the United States of America. You'll be unsurprised to know that the answer to your question of where was that ball dropped is in the Texas Secretary of State's office.
No.
And, you know, we could either go to court in Texas and try to deal with it there, or... What we didn't want to do was make an issue of that and allow the whole case to get sucked into the federal courts. This is really an issue of Wisconsin law, and we want this resolved here in our Wisconsin courts.
Oh, okay. There's just so many issues. I mean, I could even go off on a different tangent. I remember when Ron Johnson first ran for office, and this was, 2010, and instead of paid for by Ron Johnson for Senate, it was paid for by Johnson for Senate LLC. And I'm like, what kind of path are we wandering down here that corporations are literally running for office now? But that's a side issue. And then one other side issue, forgive me for going off on a tangent here, but when we talk about signing these quote-unquote petitions, and I want to put finger quotes around petition, because I remember when I was running for Congress in 2012, and they said, oh, we got to do these petition things. And I still have a very old-school definition of what a petition is. You know, it's to list your grievances against the government, for example. But that's not what these are. These are campaign things. They just collect your name and say, hey, we collected 110,000 signatures on this petition. It's not an actual petition, but it shows the slippery slope of first a petition is not a petition, and now a petition is something that maybe we could send you $1 or $1 million if you sign. And it is so hard as a voter to know what's a gimmick and what's not a gimmick, that the worst thing that could happen, Jeff, is that you and Law Forward aren't there to at least try to get a court to provide a little bit of clarity of what some bad actors can't do.
Well, it is very frustrating because, as you say, we think of petitions as a means of aggregating public opinion and giving it to decision makers to help guide them and help them understand what their constituents want. But these days, so often, especially online, petitions are not that. They are simply means to collect people's email addresses and text numbers. And it's just a whole shift in campaigning, as you mentioned. And some of it is constitutionally protected, but actually paying people in an effort to induce them to vote or to induce them to vote for a specific candidate, that is illegal. And yeah. We cannot allow ourselves to go down that road here in Wisconsin. No.
Cannot. Jeff Mandel from Law Forward, thank you so much. I really appreciate the information and wish you all the best in the suit.
Thank you so much.
All right. Local update is next for some of you. For others, you'll come back here for some final news and notes from Lake Wissota. I'm Pat Kreitlow on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin, sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Environmental groups say the Midwest grid operator, MISO, is pushing an emergency energy plan that discriminates against wind and solar, the two cheapest ways to produce energy in our state. The plan favors fast-tracking construction of gas-burning power plants at the expense of clean energy projects. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission rejected a similar plan from MISO last month, but environmental groups say this one is even worse, with few guardrails to ensure fossil fuel fuel projects are actually needed. Once again, Wisconsin had the biggest wild turkey season in North America. More than 50,000 wild turkeys were harvested in our state this spring. The Department of Natural Resources reintroduced the birds into our ecosystem in 1976 and has been managing the hunt ever since. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Ever since I started the recombobulation area, I've written an in-depth breakdown of every new edition of the Marquette University Law School poll. The newest poll asks about a range of topics, whether Tony Evers should run for a third term, where people stand on Donald Trump's economic policies, and a host of issues relating to the state budget. The poll paints a picture of a polarized Wisconsin. Many people are very dug into their partisan camps, which is perhaps to be expected in the most evenly divided state in the nation. But there are a number of issues polled that do have the support of more than two-thirds of Wisconsin voters. Those include extending Medicaid coverage for new moms, legalizing marijuana, making major increases in state aid for special education, providing mental health services in schools, allowing citizen-led ballot initiatives, and banning cell phones in schools. What do most of these issues have in common? They are policies being advanced by Democrats in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
In sitcoms, when someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing. How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
It is Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Up to 71 degrees here in downtown Wausau. Little bit of sunshine, but still mostly cloudy. We need some sunshine. It's been so overcast and rainy, you know, for the last week or so. I think it's time to get some real summer-like activities going on, and a lot of that involves sunshine. And it looks like we'll get some sunshine, especially tomorrow. It looks like a bright, beautiful Tuesday, but some sunshine today, maybe a slight chance of a T-storm or later in the day. But, of course, we will keep you up to speed on that twice an hour with our weather updates, part of our information updates right here on 98.9 WXCO. Also, coming up at the you know, every Friday during the summertime, folks on Civic Media, we have a chance for you to win on Free Ticket Fridays, as Civic Media is giving away tickets to sit in club-level seats at American Family Field to see the Milwaukee Brewers. I got to look, actually. I don't think it's going to happen this Friday, but it'll continue throughout the rest of the season. The Brewers right now just two games behind the Chicago Cubs when it comes to the NL Central. And I was down in Milwaukee on Friday. Mm-hmm. Went down to Milwaukee to see the Brewers take on the Colorado Rockies. A lot of fun. In fact, our tickets are in the area where we give away the tickets. Oh. And it was actually, you know, the thing that I really liked about the seats that we had, cushioned. Not all seats are cushioned at baseball games. They can be a little bit hard. And those tickets, cushioned seats. It was really, really great. Awesome. And also, they had a post-game concert on Friday. Nelly. You know Nelly? It's hot out here. And, you know, and I thought, you know, it would be a post-game concert. It wasn't going to take very long. Because, I mean, it was already after 10 o'clock when, you know, the game ended. And it took a little time to bring out this stage. And I thought, oh, it's going to be just, you know, probably a few songs. And that was it. Everybody go.
Okay.
The thing was, he put on a great show. This guy didn't just mail it in. He came out there. And he was just really a great entertainer. I'm not somebody who knew a lot of Nelly's songs. I know one or two I've heard.
Yeah,
and but he came out there and he just really put on a show. And the folks that and a lot I was expecting a lot of folks to leave because they were just here for the baseball game. No, I mean a lot of people stayed on and watched. And the people around, they knew the words. I mean, it was just really amazing. And I was just like, wow, this is something. But I was just impressed that, again, a performer who came out there and really gave to the fans and just put on a fantastic show. I was really, really impressed with Nelly. So if anybody has a chance to see Nelly in the future, I would say go for it because I thought it was That's just awesome. Really, really a good performance. And it was interesting to see it, a baseball game and then all of a sudden a music show. And he went for about, I think, more than an hour. It was just really something, but it meant a real late drive home. But no, it was.
I can imagine.
it was a good night. So,
but you had fun.
Are you still in the midst of your rehearsals?
Yep. Last week we just had a couple of rehearsals for the Comedy of Errors. Now we start getting into the regular rehearsal schedules.
All right.
So we have rehearsals Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays. Is to coincide with everybody else's conflicts. And just based on the first read-through that we had last week, it's going to be a super fun a show. It's so funny and confusing, and yet I think you'll be able to follow the story pretty well.
Fantastic.
It should be very entertaining.
Terrific. And speaking of theater, we're going to wrap it up here because yes. It's time for our number for the day quiz. We do it with Ian at the end of every program. The last 2 weeks, you've had winning weeks. I think winning weeks, right? Or did it was just passing last week? I can't remember. You had a winning week 2 weeks ago. What did you finish up last week? You were three for five, right?
Last week I was a 3 out of 5.
Yeah, so you've had back-to-back winning weeks. So let's see if you make it 3 in a row.
Well, yeah.
Based on the math, you should get 1 out of 3 correct. Anything above 33% is a passing grade. Anything that we have more right than wrong is a winning week. An A grade is 4 or 5. And perfect week is always one we look forward to as well.
Yes.
On this date, 40 years ago, in 1985, actor Yul Brynner ended his reign as the King of Siam in The King and I after playing the role on and off for over 34 years in 4,500 performances. A real long run doing that. But that's not the record when it comes to for a Broadway role.
Okay.
And the number for the day involves George Lee Andrews.
All right.
He played Monsieur Andre in The Phantom of the Opera for 23 years.
Ooh.
And the number for the day is his record for playing the same role the most times on Broadway.
Okay.
How many times did George Lee Andrews play Monsieur Andre in The Phantom of the Opera, the record for the most times on Broadway in the same role?
Okay, what are my choices?
All right. Your choices are 5,382, 7,382, 9,382 performances. So 5,382, 7,382, or 9,382. How many times did George Lee Andrews play the same role for a record on Broadway?
You know what? I'm going to say, I'm going with my gut here. I'm going to follow my instincts.
As you do all the time.
So I'm going to say 7,382.
Well, with the old crutch in the middle there, yeah. The middle number here.
We're lucky number 7 today.
That's George Lee Andrews played Monsieur Andre in The Phantom of the Opera for 9,382 performances, an all-time record. All right.
That's a lot of performances.
Yes, it is. So we'll try to get you back on the winning track tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll make a comeback.
There you go. Have a good rest of your Monday.
You too, Chad. Happy Monday, everybody. Have a great day.
Matt. Matt and Air on Air is coming up next here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief.
Senate will come to order.
Hours after debate wound down, sleepy lawmakers are back on Capitol Hill ahead of a vote on the president's massive spending plan. Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
Today, Senate Republicans have to decide. Choose the American people or bow down to Donald Trump and his coterie of billionaires.
Jury deliberations are getting underway at music mogul Sean Combs' sex trafficking trial in New York. Legal contributor Jessica Levinson.
The judge is really providing them with detailed jury instructions, like you have to find proof beyond a reasonable doubt.
Police in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, say a gunman set a brush fire, then ambushed firefighters who responded, killing two of them. The suspect is dead as well. CBS's Omar Villafranca.
Keep in mind, this was a wildfire as well that was going on, so they had to go and scoop up the suspect's body and kind of disturb the scene. They plan to go back there later on today.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.